radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Paul, third strike. Got him.
Big 0-2 pitch.
Swing and a miss. Neris pumped up. And he is going to say something to Julio Rodriguez on his way off the mound. He was pumped up and walked right at Julio Rodriguez.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
That was the most recent victory of the year for the Houston Astros as they took down the Seattle Mariners in a game that got downright testy. 8-3 to give them a 1.5 game lead over Seattle for that final wild card spot, and to technically keep them alive in the race to win the American League West. The Rangers did beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim last night. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, September 28th of 2023. I think we all, in the first inning of last night's game, thought that this was it. This was going to be it. Framber Valdez is on the mound. He can't throw a strike. He needs a mound visit. 11 pitches in. He's walking dudes. He gave up a home run. And somehow they got out of that first inning. And from there, they hung around just long enough for the offense to get going in the fourth. First, it was Yordan Alvarez. Jose Abreu gets a hit. Michael Brantley on a four-hit night gets another. Mauricio Dubon. Doobie, do it! Hits a home run in the fourth. Big uppercut against the Mariners, who struck back. They get two more in the fourth. Framber Valdez is done. Yet again, an Astros starter who isn't able to pull his weight. But finally, we saw the full destructive power of the Astros' best bullpen arms in rapid succession over five innings. And I hope that we see this order, I guess, of arms in the postseason. First, Kendall Graveman comes in. It's not a clean inning, again, but he got the job done. Just one hit allowed. He got a strikeout. Hector Neris strikes out the side. We'll talk more about him in just a bit, but him getting in Julio Rodriguez's face after striking him out was definitely my favorite moment of the Astros season thus far. That could potentially get me canceled. I don't 100% know what was said. What I do know is that I love pumped up Hector Neris. Extended work for Brian Abreu. Gotta say, was a little nervous about that. I think all the Dusty Baker haters were also thinking the same thing. When you're asking a relief pitcher to do more than he's typically asked to do, go for more than one inning, go for two innings, 1 2/3 innings, things can get dicey. And things did get dicey in Abreu's last inning of work. But he gets through. Four strikeouts along the way. Ryan Presley, extended work. He gets it done. It wasn't perfect, but that was a damn good showing by the Astros' bullpen. And along the way, in the seventh inning, the Astros get three more. Bregman gets a single. Alvarez gets an intentional walk. Kyle Tucker doubles. Jose Abreu gets a single. Michael Brantley singles. Three more. Martin Maldonado gets a home run. And again, it's the victory of the year. The most recent one. Because we've probably said this three, four times this year, Sean. I don't know if you've been keeping track. I have a bit of a
I should. No, it's not
reptile
just you.
Brain.
It's not just you that calls every big Astros win the biggest win of the year. But this is the biggest
this
win of the
year. This is definitely the biggest win of the year.
This
I mean,
is.
If they lost this game, you don't really have much control over your fate. You are hoping that Texas still has something to play for and completely smokes the Mariners. Now, it doesn't have to go one way. Anything can happen in that series, assuming you take care of business against an Arizona Diamondbacks team over the weekend on the road where you play better for some reason that has a pulse, but I don't think is like the 80-win teams in the American League. I think they are National League 80 wins, which means that they're not as good as the American League teams.
Yeah, we have to speak to how, I guess, in the driver's seat the Astros are, just how much they can, I don't want to say breathe easy, because they breathe easy.
You can't breathe easy.
Okay. But
if they breathe easy again, someone needs to punch them so that they are gasping for air.
If you're a Houston Astro listening to this radio station, turn off your radio for the next 30 seconds. Everyone else, still listen. If you're a fan, still listen.
Okay. Everyone's got the earmuffs on. Hit us, Sean.
From at Austin Corey, there are 20 different ways the Astros, Arizona, and Seattle, Texas series can go. 15 of them are good for Houston. 2 division wins, and then 13, they're in the wild card.
Okay.
So there's only 5 disaster scenarios.
5% chance at winning the division. That's fun. We'll see. But yes, focus on just getting in. Take care of business. How about a nice little sweep to wrap things up? You got the day off. You got a weekend ahead of you. You had the day off last time after beating Baltimore in that last game of the series. Felt like that was going to give you a little bit of momentum, and then you pooped your pants against the Royals at home.
Yes, if you're a Houston Astro, you can listen back now.
100%. Now, I don't know if they would know to tune back in because we told them to stop listening.
Well, maybe they're in the car with like someone else, and they just did earmuffs or something.
I'll be honest, Sean. Telling them to change the channel when one of those Astros players, I don't know, like Kyle Tucker, who's underpaid, might be wearing a PPM meter, you know, to get paid $20 a month. I feel like that wasn't a great idea because we do like our ratings. We do like our number one in sports radio from 10 to noon ratings over the last 6 months. We do like them.
Yes, and it's all because Kyle Tucker listens.
What if it was Dusty Baker the whole time? Dusty Baker follows me on Twitter. I mean, it's possible.
It's not impossible. I do think that everyone though. Like, it's not impossible that Dusty Baker is trying to upset him.
You know what? He's got to come on the show. He's got to come on the show if he does, because I'm the biggest Dusty Baker defender. But Hector Neris is the guy who saved the season. He might be canceled now. There's a lot of argument over what he actually said to Julio Rodriguez. I'll admit, I've only taken Spanish on Duolingo, and I'm also not from a Latin American country. What I can tell you is that the Spanish language does vary in terms of interpretation and slang from country to country. And that Julio Rodriguez, Hector Neris, and Framber Valdez, they're all from the Dominican Republic. They all share the same agent. They are all supposedly friends. Supposedly, what Hector Neris said was this. Batea, 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 gono va de ahi. Did I get the pronunciation right? I don't know. But per some, that means go ahead and hit it, mother bleeper, get out of here. Per others, like Mariners third baseman Eugenio Suarez, is a homophobic slur. I don't know. I truly don't know. I don't want to debate what is and what isn't. I don't get mad about the Mexican goal kick chant that they've been doing for years. Maybe it is embarrassing for some Mexican soccer players. I know that that word can be a homophobic slur. I also know that that word can mean bitch. It really does vary. So I'm not going to get into whether or not we should cancel Hector Neris, but I'm sure there are some people who are wanting me to talk about that. I'm sure there are some people who have strong feelings either side about it. All I know is seeing Hector Neris do something again that pumped up the rest of his teammates shows just how valuable he's been this year. And going into that outing, the guy had thrown, over the 15 innings before, he'd been throwing with a 0.6 ERA. He has been on his A game of late. He had the big strikeout against the Baltimore Orioles where you saw him get crazy. You saw that too. And baseball can be a slow, plodding, dull game where there's so many guys who show no emotion. So when you actually do see a guy who shows that kind of emotion, how do you not get pumped up? And right after Hector Neris did that, the Astros rallied for 3 insurance runs in the 7th. Right after that happened. Cause and effect? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say this is like an MVP baseball 2005, the greatest baseball video game of all time, where if you argued a call and got ejected as a manager, depending on how hard you tapped the Y button, if you had an Xbox, or the triangle button, if you had a PlayStation, you theoretically could pump up your players. And if you charged the mound, it was the same thing. Like, they would get a statistical boost if you did it at the exact right time. And it felt like the Astros got a boost from Hector Neris doing that. It also felt like the Mariners caved. One of my friends who is a Seattle Mariners fan, who has been slowly thinking, like me, that the Run DMC outfits going into New York were a mistake, he thinks that the Mariners are fake tough guys. And it's interesting because both sides, of course, both fan bases are going to interpret it in a way that's slanted towards their teams. I think most Mariners fans are like, Hector Neris should be ejected and suspended for what he did right there. Most Astros fans are like, that was awesome. But this Seattle Mariners fan friend of mine thinks that the Mariners coming out but not actually doing anything about it, kind of being in hold me back mode, and Neris going to the dugout, you can make the same argument if you're on the Mariners side of things, but he thought it made them look like bitches.
I side with the Mariner, your unnamed Mariner friend who's been given anonymity for their own safety. There's screenshots of like when Julio Rodriguez first turned around to look at Neris, and then when he actually took his first step towards Neris, and it was when Neris was already like halfway to the dugout. It was a little Joe Kelly-ish, where it's like, oh yeah, he eventually stepped to him, but he waited until 4 people were in between him.
Here's my question, though, especially with these two as friends, who hasn't gotten in some sort of shouting match as a guy with one of your guy friends and then gotten over it like 5 minutes later? This has happened to me before.
Call him a couple slurs, you know.
Well.
Yeah, no, I'm not joking.
back when it was cool to say those things, who's going to say they haven't done something like that? I'd love to say that we're all morally pious, but I'm just going to be honest. Like, I've done that before. In that situation, what are you supposed to do? If you're Hector Neris, are you supposed to stay there? And if you're Julio Rodriguez, are you supposed to actually do something about it? Are you supposed to shove him? Are you supposed to punch him? As a man, let's just talk about it. Like, man card, man code. Like, what are we supposed to do in that situation? Whatever the case, I think Rodriguez was a little bit shocked. He said he was shocked afterwards.
He definitely looked shocked.
And by the time he realized what had happened, Neris was going off to the dugout, maybe thinking that, okay, if I keep on doing this, I'm going to get ejected. I'm going to get suspended. Honestly, I have no idea what was going on in the two of their heads. All I know is, thank God that happened, because you know, it's a late baseball game on the West Coast, and Paul was getting tired. A nice little Donnybrook to wake you up. You know, it's like a nice cup of coffee, a nice little espresso after a heavy Italian meal, you know?
Especially, like, at the end of the 6th inning, because that's, like, when you need it the most. That's when you need the, like, oh, I need to lock back into this. Like, oh, okay, here we go. I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, Hector Neris, I think there was, I mean, it's hard to, like, say for sure there was a cause and effect, but it definitely seemed like
it did seem like
a cause and effect of. It was kind of what the kick in the pants that the Astros needed.
He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. I have a question for you. You can answer this on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Among favorite Astros players this season, where does Hector Neris rank? Also, I'm going to tell you about what the Astros need to do, some of those possibilities that Sean told you about, and a couple of fun baseball stories, including one that makes the Yankees look hilarious yet again. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You want to enter promo code BET975. On a deposit of $50 or more, you'll receive up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. We do have one, thankfully, primetime football game tonight. It is the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. The Detroit Lions are 2-point favorites in this game. Something to note, Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, probably out for this game. I believe he has been officially ruled out. Their starting running back, David Montgomery, also going to be out. They did draft Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round, but 2 key Lions missing. Packers are coming off of an incredible finish to that game against the New Orleans Saints. And I do really like what they've done to this point. I think Matt LaFleur might actually be a good coach, even though he looks a little bit underwhelming. These games are weird. I would honestly advise stay away from any Thursday night football game. But if I have to make a pick tonight, I am picking the Packers to cover as 2-point dogs. You can do that at mybookie.ag. That's the spread at mybookie.ag. And again, enter promo code BET975 to claim your cash deposit bonus. You bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of the Norwegian Blue.
This parrot is no more. He has ceased to be.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Whether they come home and try and cut the runner off or not.
This ball drilled deep to left field, all the way back to the wall, gone! Mauricio Dubon, a three-run jack, and the Astros up 4-1.
Doobie!
Number 10 on the year for Dubon, having a career year, and that's his biggest swing of 23.
I thought Todd Callis was on his A game last night. I do, no offense to Jeff Blum, wish that we could get Julia Morales to add the flavor to the home run. When Mauricio Dubon does it, can we just make an exception for right there? I don't think Jeff Blum's too proud to hand that over, because we need to get a doobie do it. Right, Sean? Nothing like a little doobie do it in your life. Doobie do it. You know what? It sounds kind of demeaning when I do it.
Doobie do it.
There we go. That's a lot better. That's much better, Julia. Thank you. We needed that on the call last night. I would have really added a little insult to injury.
There. They should just have like a soundboard in the press box where they can just like hit the sounder.
Doobie do it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's just great. It's just fantastic. Stop acting like I'm a pervert, Sean. God.
Stop acting like a pervert.
I'm not acting like a pervert. I just like the way she says it. What? Hit me one more time. Come on.
Doobie, do it.
I love it. It's great. Everyone loves it, Sean. Stop getting mad. Everyone loves
it. I'm not mad.
No, you're embarrassed.
Nope, you're
and ashamed of me.
Nope, you're mad. I'm laughing. Mad. I'm laughing. Look at me. I'm laughing.
You're not really laughing. You're not really laughing. You're scared that we're going to get canceled by the FCC.
You're going to get canceled.
Listen, I'm stupid. I didn't know what I was saying. I just read the words. They were printed in the English language. They didn't censor them, so I just read what was in front of me. Okay? I'm Ron Burgundy, baby. Apparently cussing in Spanish. Apparently I cussed in Spanish. Who would have thought? Hey, some questions. People are asking them about the Astros' chances to win the AL West. I'll get to them in a moment. But I did want to know, where does Hector Neris rank among favorite Astros this season? Eric the Driver says, Neris and Abreu have been my favorite bullpen arms this entire year. Hector likes to get fired up in big spots. Ain't his fault the Mariners are sensitive little B words. I'm with you in that those two have really jumped up the power rankings, especially after last season. Because last season, I mean, you're really praising Ryan Presley as a god. Yeah, I mean, his postseason last year was incredible, and it did merit some of the candle waving. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time. You know, that song when Presley comes into the game. But after that, I've gained a lot of love for Mauricio Dubon over the course of this year. When a guy steps in and has an unexpectedly successful season like this, you got to put him up towards the top. Obviously, Altuve, Alvarez, they're your number one and number two, essentially no matter what. Kyle Tucker is probably like three. Dubon and Chaz McCormick have risen the most this season. So if I'm power rankings, probably Altuve, Alvarez. I'm going to put Neris in at three just because it's fun.
Yeah, and recency bias, you can have fun.
Yeah, yeah. So Kyle Tucker I'm going to put four.
Thanks for listening, Kyle.
We're going to put Chaz McCormick in at number five and Dubon at six. So there you go. Those are my power rankings for favorite Astros this season. Notice
this season.
Okay. No starting pitchers. No starting pitchers allowed. It has been very annoying, and Framberg is very lucky that things worked the way that they did last night. They bailed him out. He looked like he was about to have a complete meltdown, like we saw against the Mariners last time, like we saw against the Rangers as well. So there you go. As far as playoff matchup-wise, as things currently stand, the Astros are in pretty good shape if everything stays put, because either way, either they somehow miraculously win the division or they remain the sixth seed, they're either going to get the Twins in the fake round, then the Rangers, or they get the bye week and they get the winner of Rangers and the Twins. We'll see, because things can still move around. It really does depend on what Toronto does as far as the wild card seeding. They have one left against New York, three against Tampa Bay. They can't afford losses because Seattle could theoretically sneak back in. They are, as things currently stand, the five, because the Rays have so many more wins than them. The Rays are locked in to either the four or the AL East, which they still have a chance technically to win, Sean.
So from what I'm hearing, that the six seed is where the either the two or the six is where you want to be if you're the Astros.
Yes.
Five, you have to play either the Orioles or Rays, who right. have like 90 wins, like 95
exactly.
wins.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes. So
they should probably change that. They should probably, hey, if one division stinks, maybe
I agree.
Maybe that, don't make, you know, the
Central is
play,
so bad. It is so yeah. bad. But you do want to. This is the weird thing with divisions. I think that the way that baseball used to be with the big divisions was actually better, honestly, because it allowed for more of meaning, I think, in the regular season. But obviously, they added the wild card stuff. And honestly, I've only, as a person who grew up and really was sports conscious starting around like 95, 96, like that's all I've known is the wild card era. I wasn't really paying attention because I was a baby before that. Someone texts in, if the Astros go 2-1 and the Rangers split, do we win the West? No. Astros got to win out. Rangers have to lose 3 of 4. Now, the Astros could go 2-1, but the Rangers would have to get swept by the Mariners the last season of the series, or series of the season. So that's about to start. There are a couple of baseball things I wanted to touch on. We can drive through them really quickly. The Braves' Ronald Acuña just completed a 40 home run and 70 stolen base season. The game was stopped so that he could lift the base to celebrate. And the Cubs broadcast seemed very annoyed by it. And gave me a kick in the pants.
And we're really stopping the game. Can we get the
base after the game? This is pretty absurd. I mean, it's a hell of an accomplishment.
Totally, but can't stop the game and run a highlight montage.
Those guys want to get to Cancun. Let's be honest. Those guys have had a long season covering the Cubs. The Cubs are probably done at this moment in time. So, yeah, I would be annoyed by that, too. It's sort of like when they stopped the game for Drew Brees' passing yard records, which eventually got broken not that long later, I believe, by Tom Brady. Like, that was stupid. It's yards. Can we stop acting like yards are a big deal? But 40-70 is pretty effing cool. Also, another Brave had a hot take about baseball. I don't know how many people are going to like this one, and maybe this makes you hate the Atlanta Braves a little bit more, but he had a hot take about the way that baseball games should be played.
Do you have any hot sports takes?
Any hot sports takes?
Absolutely, there should be no fans. 2020 season, no fans. Get rid of the fans. It's too loud.
Too loud?
It's too loud. Everybody be quiet. We don't need the cheering. We know you're watching. I don't need a fence. You stay outside the stadium. Back it up. Let's do like a no lower bowl thing.
No lower bowl?
You know?
Okay.
Just kind of, upper deck's great. Upper deck's great. Outfield, phenomenal.
We don't
need you around the dugouts. Right. Just try and be quiet.
Try and be quiet. All right, that guy sucks. Baseball games are fun to go to. Very fun, especially so I can get my $500 El Tiempo margarita in center field. It takes usually about like 30 minutes to get because there's a long line and they don't usually have enough people working the staff there. More baseball stories. Heartwarming moment. My guy, Terry Francona, managed his last game in Cleveland. He got a standing ovation on the way out. Check it out, the viral moment. Baseball is great. Hashtag I love baseball. But someone stole his scooter and apparently took a dump on it. Not kidding. He actually confirmed this. He has a scooter and someone stole it and took a crap on it.
Where does he scoot? Like, just around Cleveland?
I don't know. And we're not talking about like the scooting a dog does, because that would seem like it would be consistent with, you know, a little little poo on the scooter.
Is it a Rascal scooter?
I guess so.
Because I can't imagine. I mean, no offense to Terry Francona, but he has had a lot of health issues in the past.
Yeah, I don't want him running a Vespa, but I could see him running a Vespa.
Or even the one like the ones you had to push with your leg, like, and balance.
A razor?
Yeah. Like I feel like he's going to get clipped by a car.
He's wearing a sideways hat while he's riding a razor. Yo, what's up, fogies? It's me, Tito F. What up, dog?
Well, yeah, and he's also dipping while he...
he's definitely dipping. I got that Riz on God for real. It's me, Tito F, dog.
That'd be funny if he did a TikTok where he's, like, doing razor scooter tricks.
Riz King Tito F. The Yankees have finally had enough as we continue to go around baseball really quickly. So, wow, it's interesting in the last week of the season. Who would have thought? Which Steinbrenner is this? Hal Steinbrenner has had enough of being a runner-up. The Yankees are going to hire a third-party audit team to evaluate all their failures. It'll begin in early October.
Is it Mike Francesa? Is he the audit team?
No. It's going to be a lot of the nerds. It seems like it's going to be some analytical people that are stepping in there. The Rays celebrated clinching the playoffs, so they had ski goggles and plastic over their lockers and champagne. Maybe they are fine being the four seed. Maybe that's what they decided. We're going to rest the last two couple of games of the year as this series against Toronto happens. That would certainly help the playoff scenario as currently stands to happen. It's weird. They clinched the playoff spot 10 days ago, like against Boston. So they're celebrating it now. And when asked about it, they said, well, we're different. We're the Rays. That's what Kevin Cash said. Yeah. Pull blank Snell from a World Series game again, dude. And the last story that we have, there was drama in the San Francisco Giants clubhouse because apparently they're playing Bob Marley after losses, meaning they're playing the song Don't Worry About a Thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. So someone needs to be fired for that. But anyway.
Just play a different Bob Marley song. He has plenty of other songs.
Come to Jamaica and Feel All Right. That also sort of indicates they're about to go on vacation.
Well, yeah. Maybe jamming.
We jamming. I hope you like jamming too.
Yeah.
That could work. Honestly, it makes me feel like they're all stoners, too.
That is definitely the implication.
Don't you have to be a stoner to listen to Bob Marley? Like, isn't that part of your culture? If you're a white guy listening to Bob Marley, aren't you very likely to have dreadlocks?
Yeah.
You could get dreadlocks, Sean.
I could.
Have you ever done it?
No.
That should be a bet. Maybe that's if the Astros win the World Series, you have to get dreadlocks. How about that?
It
would be so funny, though.
I don't want to have to root against the Astros because I don't want to have to start every conversation with, hey, I know what it looks like. But.
I smoke weed, guys. Look at me. Bogalacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The worm is the spice. The spice is the worm.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Cat! Hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Astros did work last night. 8-3. They take 2-3 from Seattle. In Seattle, they are a game and a half up on the Mariners for the sixth and final American League playoff spot. The Rangers did win, though. Their magic number is now 2. If the Astros want to miraculously win the AL West, they're going to need a Rangers collapse courtesy of the Seattle Mariners. I might have to break out the Astros Mariners shirt again soon. I might have to do it. Should I do it over the weekend? I think I might. Conversation starter? Is that how I meet my future wife? Trick question. Paul's staying in this weekend because he needs to. Stop laughing. I'm going to do it this time.
No, I'm just imagining that's how you meet your future wife, and she's just wearing a split Mariners-Astros jersey, just split the other way.
Ooh.
And it's like, wow, really complete me.
We're two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Okay, to the NFL we go. There is a Thursday night football game today. MyBookie.ag has the Detroit Lions as 2-point favorites over the Green Bay Packers. Taylor Decker, the Lions' left tackle, their running back David Montgomery, not expected to play. I'm a big Lions guy. It's hard to not root for a team that has been so bad for so long that has cool uniforms that's finally good. Like, part of it is the cool uniforms, I will fully admit. I like Green Bay tonight. I think that the injury to Taylor Decker is going to hurt him. And I really like the way that the Packers finished up the game. I'm not going to say Jordan Love is good, but I like Matt LaFleur better as a head coach than I like Dan Campbell, even though one is a guy I would follow in the vanguard into battle, Campbell. And the other is like, I'm imagining he's going to stab me in the back because he kind of looks like Littlefinger, Peter Baelish. That is Matt LaFleur. I'm 100% being skinny-cyst, which is honestly degrading to me and my people. But yeah, I'd follow the meathead over the skinny guy every single time.
I think you're also being like facial hair-ish. Because I feel like it's a lot of the facial hair that makes LaFleur look like Littlefinger.
It is. It's a little too manicured, and it makes me somewhat reflective of my own, sometimes very manicured facial hair.
That is very funny that you're like, ah, LaFleur, too much of a pretty boy.
It's too much like me.
Yeah.
This is, you know why I hated Ted and How I Met Your Mother? You know why I hated Ross and Friends? Because they remind me of myself and all the little insecurities I have about myself. I feel like that's why a lot of guys hate both of those characters. They're just not willing to admit it. By the way, let's continue to go around the National Football League. Huge news for Sunday Night Football. Oh, Christ. It's the Jets. Damn it. Chiefs and Jets. The big news. Taylor Swift. Report. She will be there. You thought it was bad? In America's Game of the Week between the Chiefs and Bears? Oh, this is going to be even worse. Two Chiefs bloodlettings against terrible teams, which means that they're going to have to find content. And guess what the content's going to be? Taylor Swift. By the way, T-Swift's team did not allow Fox to play her songs on the broadcast. Look at her. She hasn't sold out yet completely.
Wow. I never knew how much I would want Chris Collinsworth to like try to fill time in a broadcast. But normally, I don't want Chris Collinsworth filling time.
Taylor Swift. Look at her, you know.
I tell you, my daughter just loved Taylor Swift, man.
Here's a girl that just puts out album after album, but she calls them eras, and my daughter is such a fan, Mike. And Mike Tirico says something awkward. As far as the Jets go, Willie Gay is a linebacker for the Chiefs. He was asked about what he sees the Jets offense trying to do, and he held back a laugh while he gave this answer.
When you look on tape, what are you seeing from Zach Wilson and their offense?
Damn. That was a hard question, I can't lie. The team that want to run the ball, you know, of course, man, you know, not that wasn't, you know, to be funny or anything, but A-Rod got hurt and it turned into a team where, like, in panic mode almost. That's what I see, at least. And they got great running backs, so now they're just trying to pound it, pound and ground, like they did, what game was that? Who did they just – I don't know if they won or not, but I feel like the running back's been rolling. So, like I say, three great ones, so I feel like that's their game plan.
I don't know if they won or not. Okay, like, talk about taking this team completely unseriously. If you watch the game and you watch the offensive tape, you knew they didn't win. They didn't do anything. They didn't score any points. Anyway,
I just love the, hey, what are you looking, what are you seeing out of the quarterback in this offense? A team that wants to run the ball. That's what I see from the quarterback.
It's not good, Sean. And, I mean, Robert Saleh's saying, like, well, we're still behind Zach Wilson, while the defense slowly growls or quietly growls.
I will say there's like a 5% chance this happens, but with Taylor Swift being there, it'd be hilarious if the Jets won.
It would be funny.
It would be hilarious.
It would be funny. Aaron Rodgers might be in attendance for this game. He can't walk right now, but the Jets want Rodgers back because they're hoping he could be Zach Wilson's whoopee. Rodgers, for his part on the Pat McAfee show, said that the Jets need to grow up. Robert Saleh, meanwhile, said he's not wrong. Oh, that's a great sign. Your head coach is really siding with the quarterbacks here. This is, I think, dumbassery 101.
Saleh also just kind of seems like, when it comes to Rodgers, has he ever like said anything about Aaron Rodgers that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want?
It's like Hackett with Russell Wilson last year. How do you think this is going to end? Especially seeing as you've already bent over backwards to make Rodgers happy by bringing in these like 300-year-old wide receivers that he used to play with that clearly aren't what they used to be. Like, it's not. Garrett Wilson's a good receiver. Their other receivers stink. Wilson pled Jets fans to stick with us. Sauce Gardner's off of Twitter. It's not looking good for the Jets. By the way, not looking good for Mac Jones as far as being a not dirty player. He's going classic Patriots mode when asked about the nad tapping of Sauce Gardner. Like I said earlier, really focused on the Cowboys, as you can see. Just trying to prepare for a good defense. That's my focus. Trying to control the controllables. Looking forward to building this week. We have practice today. Got practice tomorrow and Friday. So primetime game in a great stadium with a great football culture. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. What are the odds that Bill Belichick smacked back Mac Jones on the ass after he stepped off the podium for that? That a babe.
That's why we keep you around.
That is the perfect way to brown nose your boss. Just give exactly an answer what Bill Belichick would give. Wrapping up around the NFL, the Eagles tush push, which a lot of people don't like, has been rebranded as the brotherly shove. I'm a fan. It's not bad.
I think both names are all right. I think brotherly shove is good for when it's the Eagles doing it. Mm-hmm. I think tush push is good for when other teams do it.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
I think the Eagles have earned their own name for this.
They have.
Because they invented it, and they're the best at it.
And congratulations. Big win for the Texas A&M Aggies. Devin Achane, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. 5 touchdowns in total, 18 carries, 203 yards, 4 catches for 30, and 2. How about that? Big. The Aggies needed that with Wiggy going down. And as a Syracuse/Florida/Cougs/Texas/Washington State fan, my heart is with the Aggies, and my heart is with Connor Wigman at this difficult time. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. J.J. Watt thanked Houston Texans fans with a full-page newspaper ad, and I will try my best to not be a Debbie Downer when we talk about J.J. Watt's ultimate legacy in the NFL. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give me the ball.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros got a big win last night over the Seattle Mariners 8-3. Some are calling it the biggest win of the year. Though, if we're being perfectly honest, it's the most recent big win of the year.
Yeah, the Rangers series was the 3 biggest wins of the year until they weren't.
To be fair, the Astros kind of effed that up. I was right until the Astros made me wrong.
Okay.
As I've said multiple times this year.
Right. Good take.
It was a good take. Good take, bad result. The Rangers should be dead. Astros weren't able
to
take care of business.
I need to find that video again.
It's there. It's very easy to find. You can look it up. Tag me in it. Freezing cold takes as soon as it happens. But I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope for an absolute Rangers collapse. Though I will feel bad for Tap if that does happen. Anyway. J.J. Watt is going to get honored at NRG Stadium on Sunday. He's going to get inducted into the Houston Texans Ring of Honor. And he's starting to do the media rounds. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. We'll get to some of what he said on the Pat McAfee show. Rather disappointing in just a moment. But he also took out a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle. And I felt like I should read a selection of it. Perhaps with some ambience in the background to add gravitas. Because we are talking about J.J. Watt here. H-Town. Where do I begin? 12 years ago, I sat there in New York City on draft night, not knowing where I'd end up, not knowing what my life might look like the next day, or where I'd be calling home for the next however many years. I was just a kid, excited to be living out the dream that so many of us have had since we were running around in the backyard. Then the moment came. With the 11th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select J.J. Watt, defensive end from Wisconsin. This is crazy. I just got drafted in the first round. Hug my parents. Hug my brothers. Hug my high school coaches. Damn, I gotta get to the stage. Somebody hands me a hat. Houston!
I'd never been to Houston. I didn't know much about it. Got back to my hotel room that night, clicked onto social media, saw the draft party boos. That's okay. They don't know me. No worries. Just a new challenge, a new opportunity to change some people's minds. Next morning, up on a plane, land in Houston. This is it. This is my home now. Let's get to work. From the first moment I stepped off that plane in Houston 12 years ago to this moment as you're reading this right now, all I've wanted to do is make you proud. I knew it wouldn't be easy. I knew it was going to take a lot of work. I knew I would have to put in the effort to earn your trust, to learn your history. Not much of it. To appreciate what makes this city so special. Thankfully, I had an abundance of incredible people to help me do that. Teammates, coaches, trainers, equipment staff, cafeteria workers, Houston legends, athletes, artists, media members. Sup, that's me. Restaurant workers and everyone in between. This city welcomed me as one of their own. You welcomed me as one of your own. We've been through a lot together. Incredible highs, horrific lows, but we always did it together. 12 years ago when I stepped off that plane, I wasn't entirely sure what lied ahead. Today, every single time I step off a plane in Houston, I feel one thing. Houston is family. Forever. I love you, H-Town. And I can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Wow, that music timed out perfectly. The Pacific is a great television show. Shout out to HBO for making that. Any World War II show. People say we men think about the Roman Empire all the time. No, it's just World War II. So that's the ad that J.J. Watt took out. Day One Donna asks, why does J.J. sound a lot like Batman? Well, I suppose a lot of my impersonations go back to Batman. You'll be surprised around Halloween, by the way, in studio with one of my costumes. So lots of great memories with J.J. Watt in Houston, right? He had the pick six in the Texans' first ever playoff W. He had the entire 2015 season where he actually received 10-plus MVP votes. I think he got 11. Three times Defensive Player of the Year, the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, what, $37-plus million? And also, he was probably the final nail in the coffin for Bill O'Brien when everything was hitting the fan in the 2020 season. Now I'm about to depress you. And I know it's sort of in my nature. Someone on YouTube was saying, Paul, I really like you as a sports talk show host, but you're negative. You say everybody's opinions are dumb. But it's true. Like, I'm really smart when it comes to football. Everything else, I'm kind of an idiot. But you know, sometimes you have to look at a player and wonder, what if? Don't hate me for this. So, remember his first five seasons, he played all 80 games. 16, 16, 16, 16. Every single playoff game as well. Did you know he played just 71 of his last 114 possible regular season games? Whoa. Come on. I'm not that much of a Debbie Downer, Sean. I'm not that much of a Debbie Downer. But some more somewhat depressing J.J. Watt statistics. 48.5 of his 114.5 sacks came against the AFC South. He did have 6 playoff sacks, but 5 of them came the first 2 years of his career. He only had 0.5 sack against the Patriots his entire career. I mean, that one really stings.
Because it felt like they somehow played every single year.
They did play.
Which I guess they both won. Funny enough, they both won the division every year.
They did.
Which is depressing to think about.
They did. Again, there was this level that the Texans got to with J.J. Watt, and they couldn't quite get over it. And it is a bit depressing that, like, our favorite memories of J.J. Watt, it's the pick six against Cincinnati. It's clearly that. And some of those other memories, too. But it sucks that we never got to see him have, like, one of those Von Miller moments like we've seen him have a couple of over the last couple of years. And this is not me trying to diminish his career. This is just me highlighting, like, what kind of sucks for NFL players. Like, this is the best ones. A lot of them go through stuff like this. This is a depressing memory. Him telling Deshaun Watson sorry, that sucks. It just and asking for his...
On a lot of different levels.
Yes. And asking for his release also, like, that's the last memory of him with the Texans. And that's on the Texans for that happening. Like, he should have been here his entire career. But here's what's honestly most depressing, because a lot of people were talking about how Bill O'Brien maybe hates... Bill O'Brien, check that.
that J.J. Watt hated Bill O'Brien and is the reason that Bill O'Brien finally got fired. And maybe that was the case. But on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, J.J. Watt had this to say when asked a question by Pat McAfee, who brought up something I'd never heard of before.
Every job in the entire building at one point, and then there was a massive blow up that the reports were you took his face and punched right through it. Was that real? Was there any of that that was real? And how much of that were you keeping track of towards the end of Billy O'Brien's run with the Texans?
Yeah, no, we never got into a physical altercation. No, there's no secret at all. We had a few scuffles, arguments here and there, but that's what coaches and players do. I mean, I talk to Bill all the time. I talked to him literally last week. We have a lot of respect for each other, and as a player, when you're going through the ups and downs, you're gonna have those types of situations. We've seen it with him with Brady on the sidelines. He's a very, very fiery guy, and that's you almost have to be in sports. And so we definitely had some spirited debates at times, but no, it never came to a physical altercation between me and Bill.
I had never heard that there was a story of a physical altercation, Sean. I had never heard that. I think some Texans fans are going to be bummed out by that.
I was like, I don't think I remember.
I heard shouting match at practice.
Yeah, I remember them like getting into it.
But I had never heard about it.
I never heard of that. Yeah.
Right. Actual fisticuffs between a coach and a player. That would have become a much bigger story.
Yeah.
No, in that moment.
No way we wouldn't have heard about that. Even if it didn't like become the lead story on SportsCenter, it would be something where.
That would have been the lead story on SportsCenter. Yes. Even with the Houston Texans.
But if it if they did a good job like hiding it to where the like national media didn't run with it. Like, still local media would have heard about it. You know, like, and now it's been so much time since then, like, you know, all the people that are close around the team at that time, including yourself, Paul, would be like, well, you know what happened one time. You know, like, that would have happened. So, yeah, it was a weird question.
We talked about this in the break. J.J. Watt is a very, very nice guy. It is authentic kindness, I think, that comes from his heart. He also is a lot more savvy when it comes to saying things publicly. And I also think, as Sean did, bringing up in the break, that he's probably right here trying to seem like the bigger guy here. I imagine there is a little bit of disdain between the two that probably more comes from JJ than it comes from Bill because of Bill's style and because of the way that things were really going behind the scenes towards the very end with Bill.
And if, yeah, I mean, we mentioned and kind of joked about the clip of him walking off the field with Deshaun Watson saying that, like, we wasted one of your seasons. If he thinks of it like that with Deshaun Watson, he probably also thinks of it for himself and Bill O'Brien wasting some of his seasons.
Yeah.
And the Texans organization wasting some of JJ's seasons.
100%. 100%. And, of course, he had the injuries and stuff, too. But I imagine a lot of Texans fans are disappointed to hear that, like, he doesn't have beef still with Bill O'Brien. Because Bill O'Brien is one of the most disliked sports figures in recent Houston sports memory. Mike Fiers is the only person that I know definitively is above that. But after that, O'Brien's pretty damn close to the top. I mean, O'Brien was a part of turning off an entire fan base from this team, and they were good for most of the time that he was the head coach of the team.
That was, like, the most incredible part is that they had the most success, like the most sustained success that this franchise has ever had of a football franchise in the state of Texas in Houston. And Bill O'Brien was so unlikable that people were like, nah, who cares?
I know.
They won. What was it?
Nine games in a row in 2018.
Off,
they started off 0-3. They won 9 in a row. And I remember being bummed out about it because I was working up the Texans flagship on a brand new morning show during football season. And I was like, can they please care about the Texans so that everybody, I don't know, listens to our show so I still have a job? So we like, our ratings were terrible. We were terrible during that time of year.
Yeah. I don't know how he did that. That is like a magic trick to be successful.
Forcing me into a three-person show?
Yeah. No, Bill O'Brien.
My bad.
Now watch Paul Gallant disappear. No, how Bill O'Brien was like, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be more successful than Gary Kubiak. And then I am also going to have no one like me. And I'm going to do it without a quarterback for most of the time. So I'm making it even more impressive. and people are going to like the team less when I'm through with it.
JJ is writing that he was a good coach, and JJ continued in that answer saying, first off, he's going to get a beer with him soon. What? Second, that it was when he overextended himself that things really started to hit the fan. And I do agree with that, but he was a control freak, and I think that's who he is. I think he's probably in a better mental health space for himself as a coordinator than he is as a head coach, and especially as somebody running a football program. Can't even imagine what it was like running things at Penn State. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Is Hector Neris canceled? Seriously, I don't know. Paul Galancho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being your tram donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?